on your phone, on your tablet, and online. This is the AFC Donscast from the Inverness Reds. Everyone, welcome to the AFC Donscast. It's Graeme McKay here on Tuesday, the 1st of November. It was there for the taking if we wanted it, and there was no better time to take 3 points at Ibrox, with an underperforming Rangers handed their arse in Europe and a faltering performance on domestic matters. And so it couldn't have got off to a better start for us midway through the first half, with Conor Barron scoring in the 21st minute. That lead only lasted 6 minutes after Tillman rolled the ball across for Colic to level the score. Just in the stroke of half-time, we were behind when Lundstrom scored to make it 2-1. We never recovered from that in the second half, severely under pressure, Taverney scoring in the 51st minute. A Jaden Richardson handball led to a penalty award after a VAR check. Taverney failed to score from the spot, bouncing the ball off the post. And to add insult to injury, Sab Morelos, who just came on for Rangers, tapped the ball into the back post to make it 4-1 on the day. We were poor defensively, nothing up front and poor tactics. A lot of our big players posted missing. Here's Rob with the manager.
Jim, that's been a tough day, especially after having gone in front.
Extremely disappointing afternoon, Rob. There's no getting away from that. I mean, you know, we spoke in the build-up to the game about trying to be positive and trying to take the game to Rangers, and I think people could see that with the lineup that we went with. We had great belief prior to the game, and you know, Rangers started the game relatively well in the opening 2 or 3 minutes, but once the game settled down, I thought, you know, it became quite even, and we got our noses in front, and you know, that's what we were looking for. We spoke about trying to get that goal, try and get the fans on the Rangers' backs, and I think that worked to a certain degree. But you know, the goals that we concede are poor ones from our point of view. The equaliser, we don't track a runner in the middle of the park. That then disjoints the whole back line, where Anthony Stewart has to come over and match the runner, which then frees up Colic in the middle of the penalty spot. And he's in great form at the moment, so he's not going to miss from there. Once we get to kind of 5 minutes before half-time, we're then thinking about, you know, managing the game properly. Let's get in level pegging and let's make one or two changes that we need to make. And unfortunately, we give away the free kick, you know, in added on time, I think, in the first half. We do okay in the first instance. Kel Roos makes a really good save down low to his left, and unfortunately the Rangers players are forced to react to it, and that's the bit that probably frustrates us more than anything. You know, Lundstrom is free in the middle of the 6 yard box. He won't have an easier finish all season. So you know, even at 2-1 at half time, we still try to remain positive. We still believed we had enough in the group to get something from the game, and but unfortunately, you know, I think right on just after kickoff, I think about 60 seconds into the game in the second half, we had a great chance. You know, Jaden puts a good ball in, and Duke makes a great run across the near post, and you know, maybe it just happened too early into the second half. You know, we probably would have liked to have that one back. If that goes in, then of course it's game on again, but I think that was the one and only real opportunity we had in the second 45 minutes. Rangers were, unfortunately, dominant in possession, created numerous chances. Obviously, at 2-1, we're still trying to get back into the game. We're still trying to be a bit adventurous. But when we got into Rangers' half, I thought we were too sloppy in possession, too slow at times. And we ended up getting done on the counter-attack on numerous occasions, and that became a real problem for us throughout the 45 minutes of the second half.
Does it feel like a missed opportunity, Jim, because you did go in front and the fans were getting restless at that point, and you had an opportunity to build on getting that opening goal?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, of course, every goal you concede is avoidable, and you can take it back to certain elements of the goals that you concede, but, you know, the first one is disappointing because, you know, it is a midfield runner. You know, we know that Rangers make good runs from midfield. It was Tillman on that occasion, but Scott Arfield, who came on in the second half, is good at finding space. We spoke about that in the build-up to the game. You know, the second one is the real killer blow, I think. you know, we're to come in one each at half time, it's not a disaster. But at 2-1, then we're kind of chasing the game a little bit, and we were probably, you know, a little bit too gung ho too early, which allowed Rangers time and space when they won the ball back. And you know, they're very, very good on the counter attack, and you know, we can have no arguments. You know, as much as it kills me to say that, you know, Rangers were the better team, and they deserved all 3 points on the day. There's far too many goal attempts, far too many shots on target, and you know, we just have to learn from this. Simple as that.
And what's maybe surprising and disappointing is that there was so little for Alan McGregor to do second half against a team, your team, that's been a joy to watch in attack this season and scoring lots of goals.
Yes, we can't have any arguments about that. I don't think we've done well enough on the ball. I don't think our build-up play was precise enough in terms of our passing. I thought we were sloppy. You know, our midfield three didn't get on the ball enough. We're starved of possession, really. And any time we did get into a forward area in the Rangers half, it just broke down far too easily. I think we were in too much of a hurry at times to go forward when we should have been a bit more patient and put our foot on the ball and rested on the ball at times. It became you know, too frantic for us in possession, and I think that's why we weren't able to get any real clear-cut opportunities. So, look, it's a real sore one to take. You know, I'll take all the criticism that comes my way for setting the lads up in the manner that we did. You know, I believe in this group. I think we've got a group capable of coming to places like this and having a go. You know, when I took the team here last March, with the group available to me at that time, we were very negative and we sat in and we were hard to beat and we were organised and we only lost narrowly 1-0. But I don't think we have to do that with this group. You know, I don't think we need to show Rangers that much respect that we sit off on the 18-yard line and park the bus. So we believed in ourselves today. We got our noses in front, and that's the real sore point for us, that we managed to get that goal, but we weren't able to capitalise on it.
It's onwards and upwards, and it's a Friday night football against Hibs next time around, and a chance to dislodge them. They've retaken third place, but you can do something about that at Pittodrie.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the game in hand on Hibs. Obviously, they're a point ahead of us at the moment. You know, one thing I will say about this particular group of players is any time we have had setbacks or disappointments, they have tended to bounce back really positively. You think about the defeat and the 3-2 defeat at home to Motherwell. You know, we bounced back really good after that. I think we went unbeaten in four. We then lost, you know, heavily at Tannadice against Dundee United. We managed to bounce back really positively after that and, you know, won the next three games. Today's a real sore one. It's a really disappointing one. It gives us an example of what we have to do, an understanding, I should say, of what we have to do to try and bridge the gap between ourselves and Rangers. But, you know, Hibs are the team that we're competing with at the moment for that third spot. No doubt Hearts will pick up points as well along the way, and I think it will come down to those three teams, Aberdeen, Hibs and Hearts, for who's going to fight it out for that third place. And we've got a chance on Friday night in front of our own fans to put things right. And, you know, we won't be too down on the players this week, as tough as it is to take coming here and losing in the fashion that we did. You know, we'll be honest with each other, we'll analyse it properly, and then we'll go again next week.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, thanks, Rob.
Catch live audio and video of our next match only on Red TV. Subscribe now for full match day coverage, replays, highlights and all the goals, exclusive interviews and behind the scenes content. Sign up now at redtv.afc.co.uk. The best of the action only on Red TV.
Okay, let's catch up with the rest of the matches in the SPFL on the weekend. And on Saturday in the Premiership, Hibs had a 3-0 win over St Mirren at Easter Road, while Motherwell won 1-0 at bottom club Dundee United. St Johnston defeated Kilmarnock 1-0 at McDermott Park. Ayr United moved 3 points clear at the top of the Championship thanks to a 2-0 win over Arbroath at Gayfield. The Red Lichties are bottom of the table, just below a Hamilton Accies side who rallied to earn a point in a thrilling 4-all draw with Cove Rangers at New Douglas Park. Raith Rovers saw off Partick Thistle 3-0 at Starks Park, with all the goals coming in the first half. Dunfermline Athletic increased their lead at the summit of League One to 3 points after beating Kelty Hearts 2-1 in the Fife Derby at East End Park. FC Edinburgh were held to a 1-0 draw at bottom club Peterhead, while Falkirk are third following a 3-1 success at Queen of the South. Alloa Athletic beat straggling Clyde 2-1 at the Indo-Drill Stadium, and Airdrieonians ended a poor run with a 4-0 thumping of Montrose at the Excelsior Stadium. Stirling Albion edged out Bonnyrigg Rose 2-1 at Forth Bank to stay top of League 2 on goal difference from Dumbarton. The Sands won 1-0 at Annan Athletic, who are now bottom of the table. East Fife are third after beating Elgin City 2-1 at Bayview, and Stranraer defeated Forfar Athletic 1-0 at Stair Park. Albion Rovers and Stenhousemuir drew 2-2 at Clifton Hill. On Sunday in the Premiership, Celtic defeated Livingston 3-0 at the Tony Macaroni Arena to restore their four-point advantage at the top of the Premiership. In the later game, Hearts came from behind to beat Ross County 2-1 at the Global Energy Stadium in Dingwall.
More Dons news
straight after this.
The scientific basis for extraterrestrial life is so clear.
Every telescope in the world is going to turn to that location and start gathering data.
If there is a signal out there, we're getting closer and closer and closer to it.
Signal did indeed come from space.
So what if we're not alone? In this drama documentary, the discovery of a mysterious alien object leads people to challenge everything they thought they knew about the universe. First Contact, an Alien Encounter, is available on BBC iPlayer from 9 p.m. tonight. AFC Women Captain Lauren Campbell and Vice Captain Francesca Ogilvy talk to Mark Gordon ahead of her home match at Pittodrie on Sunday past.
Mark, Lauren, we're here in the Richard Donald stand in the nice comfy seats supplied by Fraser Vallon for an interview today. And looking forward to the big game on Sunday against Glasgow Women at Pittodrie. Second game at Pittodrie. Lauren, how are you feeling about that one?
Yeah, excited. The good memories from the last time at Pittodrie. Although we got a defeat against Rangers, it was a big occasion. So we've had a wee taste of it before, so I think we know what we're going into this time. So yeah, I think the squad's just really up for it this weekend.
I guess it'll be different being the second time around now. It was quite an emotional night for some players who've been in the team like yourself for a long time and who've always thought this maybe wouldn't ever happen. So maybe with the emotion taken aside, will it be a different kind of feeling for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think we know what it will be about. I think maybe we're just like overcome emotions because we were surprised about the whole occasion last time. So hopefully it's a bigger crowd or the same amount roughly. So like we'll know what we're coming into, and we feel it's a game we can win definitely this time. So that puts a different perspective and maybe a wee bit of pressure on ourselves this time round too.
And Fran, it was an emotional night for maybe different reasons for yourself last time around because you weren't able to play in the game through injury. I think I spoke to you on the pitch just before the game and it was kind of just kicking in at that point, wasn't it, that you weren't going to play?
Yeah, totally.
How much are you looking forward to finally getting a game here tonight?
I'm buzzing. Obviously, last time I tore my hamstring about, I think it was a month before Pittodrie, and the first thing I asked the physio was, will I get to play at Pittodrie? And I kind of geared myself up that I wouldn't be, so to get to the opportunity to actually finally go on to Pittodrie, and obviously it's a big game as well, both teams looking for their first win, so it'll be a big game, as Lauren said. We're hoping for a big crowd, if not bigger than last time, and put on a good performance for the fans.
I guess you got a different perspective of the game last time as well, because you were up in the stands with the supporters. How big a difference did you feel from the supporters being in the ground to the players?
Yeah, it was so different. It was one of the first games I've watched from the stand, and it's different when you're in the stand than actually being a player on the pitch, because obviously you're a player on the pitch, you know how the game's flowing, and when you're sitting in the stand, you're actually one of the fans. So I found myself getting up, cheering on everyone, and it was just so good to see everyone playing really well as well.
And Lauren, that mentioned the fans a couple of times there, and a really good crowd last time, and there's so much youngsters in the crowd, and I think it almost took all of us by surprise at the end when they all stayed behind to kind of speak to the players. How big a moment was that?
Yeah, it was massive. We were there for a couple of hours after the game, and it was a Wednesday night. It was quite late on, so credit to them. So it's a Sunday lunchtime game, so hopefully even more youngsters come along this Sunday and get inspired by us as a team.
I think as well, when they actually say your name, you kind of think, oh, it's a big deal for them. Like, you don't kind of think Aberdeen Women, we're not as famous as the men are, but to hear the fans actually saying, oh, Fran, Lauren, can I get a signature from you? It was like really touching.
And I guess that's one of the big things of having games at Pittodrie, isn't it? It gives you that extra bit of exposure, and players and supporters even can get to know the players' names and get to know who the players are.
Yeah, obviously we've got our own fan base at Balmoral, different to the men, but it was good to see so many that even the men's fans were starting to come and support the women as well at Pittodrie, so that was really good. Hopefully we'll get more this time round.
And in terms of when you're out on the pitch, how big a impact does it have when you've got fans in the stand and that you can hear cheering you on?
Yeah, I think especially if you can hear, like for me, if I'm going and attacking the goal, you can hear people going, "Go on, Fran!" And it really does lift you up to know that the fans are behind you, that they know who you are, they want you to go and score. It's a good home feel when you've got fans that want you to win as well.
I guess that the flip side of that could be it can add a little bit more pressure, and obviously it hasn't been the start of the season, Lauren, that we were looking for in terms of results. Will there be more pressure going into the game on Sunday because of the form, or will that maybe help in a way because it's here and the big occasion will maybe take the mind off of that a wee bit?
Yeah, I think we've spoken about pressure as a team for a couple of weeks now because some people are feeling it, some people aren't. I've played through quite a few bad seasons playing for Aberdeen Ladies, so unfortunately I'm used to the bad times.
Yeah, I was quite lucky. I came in and we started winning things.
But it's just a moment. I think everyone forgets last season we went through a wee run of a bad period, but unfortunately it just gets swept under the rug because the result at the end of the season was really good. So we're hoping that this is what's going to happen this season. So we're planning to kickstart our season. It might be a bit late, but we're planning to kickstart our season on Sunday. But I think you come to Pittodrie, you play for Aberdeen Women, pressure is a privilege, to be honest. So we should take it like that and just give the fans what they deserve, and what we really want is 3 points.
In front of opponents on Sunday, haven't had a great start to the season themselves, having only just been promoted, but it's not a team that you can take lightly. They've got some good players, and I'm sure the occasion as well will make them raise their game.
Yeah, exactly. You can never write off the team that's at the bottom of the league. They always come and raise their game. They've got nothing to lose being at the bottom of the league. They might be the underdogs, but they might go and give a shock result. So you can never write off the bottom league teams. Obviously, as I said, both teams are looking for their first win, so hopefully that'll gear us up as well, especially being on Pittodrie pitch, just to go and get the 3 points, get the job done.
We spoke about the importance of occasions like this to bring more fans into the game and into the matches every Sunday. Obviously, the Euros in the summer was a huge event. Because it was in England, it wasn't too far away. I felt that it was kind of close to home. Do you think that's had a really positive impact for Scottish football as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think like they're our neighbouring country, aren't they? And women's football, I don't think England-Scotland thing's quite as...
Not as big as the men.
So I find myself even supporting England because you knew the benefit that it was going to have so close to home to this country. Unfortunately, Scotland weren't at it, but I think that's why we all got behind England. And yeah, they sold out stadiums. They won the Euros, obviously, but ever since they've been selling out Wembley. So yeah, I think there is a massive effect there. We got a good crowd here last season before it happened, and we played at Ibrox and there was a massive crowd there.
It was just under 5,000.
Couldn't hear yourself think at Ibrox either, so we're hoping that happens on Sunday.
Yeah, and those occasions as well, you hope to bring the fans back in, and even the last time around we never got the result we wanted, but I think the occasion in itself is probably going to lend itself to people coming back to the game. You mentioned the lunchtime kickoff as well. Kickoffs are usually later on a Sunday. How do you feel about the earlier kickoff? Does it have any impact on your day of preparing for the game?
Personal preference, love it. We love an early kickoff. It's just that's the way it happens at Cove for us at the moment. So I think, yeah, there's not much football on this weekend in regards to men's football. So 1 o'clock kickoff, it's a Sunday. There's no excuse, hopefully, for nobody to come. That's what I'll be posting on social media anyway. So hopefully, yeah, like if we got 1,800 plus on a Wednesday night, previously at Pittodrie, hopefully we can easily smash that record.
And how important is it to you as players, the kind of growth of the game off the pitch? Because obviously you've got your own playing side of things to concentrate on, but how important do you take it upon yourselves to kind of grow the fan base and try and get more people involved?
Yeah, I think it's very important. As I've said before, there is a different fan base for the women than there is the men. Obviously it's a bit more family orientated with the women, so for example our families, and there's a lot of kids that come as well. For example, a lot of the kids from my camp, they all come as well, and then they tell their pals and they all come, and there's a lot of kids from schools nearby as well that come, and like the girls teams, Aberdeen girls teams, the Westdyke girls teams, they all come. But it's not just girls as well, it's boys, which I think as well is very important to notice, that there are young boys that are coming to watch the women, which I like to think is a good thing as well, because they're not just being push to come to the men and watch. They're actually wanting to come and watch the women as well.
You mentioned your training camps there as well, and that's obviously your job out with Aberdeen. How important do you think it is it from that side of things for young boys to have female coaches as well as male coaches?
Yeah, I get a lot of messages from parents saying, oh, is the camp for boys too? Because it's predominantly myself and the other Aberdeen women that come and coach. And I say, well, majority of our kids that come are actually boys. We're trying to get more girls in. There's still such a huge demand for girls to come in. So it's good that we've got that environment where girls can come in. But equally, it's overrun with boys, and they don't care if you're a female coach or a male coach. They actually quite like the banter of a female coach being able to go and make you and score, and they're all up in each other's faces about it.
And I guess, Lauren, that's something that's kind of changed from when you first started in the women's game. There wasn't the kind of coverage there is, the media coverage there is now, and there wasn't the same kind of feeling towards the women's game of positivity as there has been over the past few years.
Yeah, totally. I think it's just grown massively, hasn't it, over the years, and it's just still propelling at a ridiculous place, if I'm being honest. But social media maybe wasn't, it was there, but it wasn't massive. So I think what every young kid is engaged, unfortunately, in good or bad ways in social media. But I think it's about normalising that young kids go to football. It's not women's football or it's men's football. If I grew up knowing there wasn't much difference, I think kids are coming to our games at 5, 6 year old. Hopefully they don't see a difference in the future to going to a men's game or a women's game. There's hopefully no stigma behind any of it. So I think that's what we want to grow into the future. And it doesn't matter if it's boys or girls that want to play football afterwards, as long as the game continues to grow.
Yeah, it's grown massively. Like when I first started football, I was 12 because I didn't know that girls' football was out there because, as Lauren said, social media wasn't really behind it. Obviously, social media has grown massively, not just with football, but in terms of social media. So getting more women's social media out there, obviously with England doing well too, brings the younger girls in, obviously from a younger age, 5 or 6. When I was younger, that wasn't a thing, 5 or 6 year old girls playing football.
And having seen a lot of the young girls in the stands at the last game, and hopefully again on Sunday, how important would it be, or how big a deal would it be to you if in years down the line one of them is playing for Aberdeen and could say, oh, I remember coming to watch the team when they played at Pittodrie?
Exactly. Well, that's what they're there to watch for. They now have, having the women playing at Pittodrie, they can come watch. Obviously, they can go watch at Balmoral too, but it's a big occasion at Pittodrie. They can sit in the stand and say, Mum, Dad, I want to go and play on Pittodrie pitch in a few years, and that would be amazing to see.
So it was a return to Pittodrie for Aberdeen women on Sunday against Glasgow women, and Aberdeen picked up their first win of the SWPL1 season as they beat them 2-0 at Pittodrie. Nadine Hansen scored AFC women's first ever Pittodrie goal with a first half header as defender Jessica Broderick doubled the lead before half time. The second half began as the first had ended, with us dominating possession. We had the ball in the net 10 minutes into the second period. Hutchison's through ball deflected off Glasgow defender into the path of Eva Thompson, who finished well, only to be denied by the linesman's flag. A third goal wasn't to be for us, and we ran out 2-0 winners.
Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley welcoming you back to Susan's Cubicle here in Accounts Payable. What an afternoon of non-stop bookkeeping action, Charles.
All that work, just terrible for her posture and circulation.
Just get moving. It helps in the prevention of so many cancers. Are you kidding me? She set herself a reminder to get out of that chair and move.
That's a smart use of a timeout.
She's somehow still reading her emails while getting her heart rate up and moving her muscles. Healthy habits that could lower your risk of cancer.
Uh-oh, it's Karen from the IT department.
This is a wrinkle no one saw coming. She means well, but she just derailed the yoga class down in accounts receivable.
There she goes with one of her usual distractions.
But Susan tosses her a no-look wave.
That's a crazy move.
Let's watch it again. There's the effortless side wave.
Susan's putting on a clinic.
Susan, from Accounts Payable, dominating.
Stand up to cancer at Optum want to help you reduce your risk for cancer. Visit takeahealthystand.org.
Dave Cormack has welcomed the SFA's support for a new stadium at the city's beach. Scottish football's governing body believes the plans will transform the North East sporting profile. It adds that it could make Aberdeen considered for more regular international fixtures, as a new stadium can host international matches, including the women's and men's under-21s and youth internationals. The last international at Pittodrie was in 2017, when just over 16,000 fans watched Scotland play the Netherlands in a friendly. Aberdeen have been given up to 20,000 tickets for our League Cup semi-final against Rangers in January. Tickets prices are as follows. It's the South Stand Lower Section J1, adults only for £38. South Stand Lower Section I, adults only £33. And South Stand Upper Section H, adults only £33. The East Stand Sections G and F, adults are £28, over 65s and under 16s £12. South Stand wheelchair users, it's adults £15, over 65s and under 16 £5, and East Stand wheelchair users, it's adults £10 and over 65 and under 16s £5. Ticket details for the match will be released by the club shortly. Aberdeen continued their show of support for Show Racism, the Red Cards Match Actions campaign during our match against Rangers last Saturday. Show Racism, the Red Card is the UK's leading anti-racism education charity, and our club has supported their messages of tolerance and inclusion for many years. Now more than ever, the importance of active anti-racism cannot be overstated. You can find out more about Show Racism, the Red Card on their website at redcard.org. An AFC women's kit are available for the first time. The adult away and kids home and away kits are in stock and available to purchase now in store from the Pittodrie Club Shop or online via afc.co.uk/shop. Due to supply challenges as a result of the global pandemic, the club are awaiting stock of adult home kits, which have been significantly delayed. And finally, one of the world's leading brewers, Molson Coors Beverage Company, has signed a three-year agreement to become an official partner of Aberdeen Football Club. The partnership will focus on promoting the Molson Coors portfolio. The brand's Madrid link is timely as we prepare to celebrate the 40th anniversary of its victory over Real Madrid in the European Cup Winners' Cup next May. Under the agreement, the company will invest in new and upgraded bar facilities at Pittodrie. They have also made a significant commitment in promotional spend with the club to bring their partnership to life in a way that will enhance the matchday experience. The new facilities will go live for our first match this Friday for Aberdeen's evening home fixture against Hibs.
In light of the events of the last 12 months, perhaps I have more to reflect on than most.
The royal family is in genuine crisis.
Have royal scandals damaged the country's reputation?
The House of Windsor should be binding the nation together, setting an example of idealized family life. It's a situation that cannot help but affect the stability of the country.
For years, I've called for a more modern monarchy that reflects the world outside.
I don't think it's my behavior that's threatening its survival.
You, as future king, have a duty.
People will never understand how it's really been for me. I never stood a chance.
She's at breaking point because of the way she feels she's been treated. They see her as a threat.
Remember the one condition, the one rule. You remain loyal to this family.
Who is silent?
Yes, it's a system. For better or for worse, we're all stuck in it.
It feels it's all about to erupt.
She opens her mouth and hand grenades come out. She wants to tear down the temple.
Let's go for it.
What the hell is she doing?
I won't go quietly. I'll battle till the end.
Our glories belong to the past. And the world will move on. And we'll be left with nothing.
How did it come to this?
It's a new decade and the royal family are facing what may be their biggest challenge yet. Season 5 of The Crown starts on the 9th of November, only on Netflix. So a reminder, Aberdeen will be holding a pre-match fan zone at the Beach Ballroom for our home evening fixture against Hibs this Friday. Tickets are on sale, price £7 for adults, which includes a pint or other alcoholic or soft drink, and £5 for under 18s, which includes a soft drink as well. Doors will open from 4pm, with entertainment running from 5 to 7pm on the night ahead of the 7:30pm kickoff at Pittodrie. And if you can't make it to the match this Friday, you'll be able to watch it live on Red TV International. Coverage starts at 7:15pm. Elsewhere in the Premiership, also playing on Friday night, is Kilmarnock and Livingston. That's a 7:45pm kickoff. Two matches on Saturday, Celtic versus Dundee United and Ross County versus St Mirren. Both of those are at 3pm. And another two on Sunday, St Johnstone versus Rangers at midday and Hearts versus Motherwell at 3pm. And just a heads up, we have a fixture on Tuesday the 8th of November away to Livingston. That's at 7:45pm. Also playing that night is Hibs and Ross County, also at 7:45. On Wednesday night in the Premiership, it's Dundee United versus Kilmarnock, Motherwell versus Celtic, Rangers versus Hearts and St Mirren versus St Johnstone. All those matches are 7:45pm kickoffs. That means two shorter edition AFC Donscast will be available next week. The first on Sunday the 6th of November for the Hibs match and the second on Friday the 10th of November following the Livingston match. And before I go, if you want a conversation on all things Aberdeen FC, head on over to the longest-running AFC forum, Dons Talk, at donstalk.co.uk. Lots of discussion there, comment and more for you to take part in. That's it for this week's edition. I'll be back on Sunday. Till then, have a great week and stand free.
Your latest Dons news. This is the AFC Dons Cast.